applaud offering. Amen? Let's listen. We bless you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Amen. We cry out to Him, I need you, and He's right there for us. Amen. Before we go on into the Word, we're going to dismiss our children for Children's Church. We can pop the lights on and let our kids get on out. Amen. Let's bless our kids as they go. Amen. 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 I invite you to turn in the Word to Galatians chapter 4. Turn in your Bibles if you have them with you. And also, it will be up on the screen as well. We're going to read a short passage, but a very powerful, powerful passage. And also, there is an outline in the bulletin that will go along with the message and the PowerPoint as well. If you would, please, would you stand out of honor and respect for the Lord's Word, and let us read together in unison. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Let's begin together. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Lord, speak to us now through your word. May we understand your heart and what that you want to communicate to us this day. Through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated and grab your outline if you want to go along with that. And I appreciated a few weeks ago, there was a real nice picture, drawing, and I'm not sure what it was, but I enjoyed it anyway. And then last week, I got a picture of the Holy Spirit going into a person, and I appreciated that as well. So take the notes, but keep the pictures coming too. Amen. Sons and daughters of God. Sons and daughters of God. The Scripture says that's what we are. Now, when you have sons and daughters, you have a family, right? Families are great, aren't they? Families are great. I mean, sometimes you no family like mine, right? You can't live without them, and sometimes you can't live with them. Families are great. Families are great. Sometimes we have wonderful memories of my family, especially when my father was alive. The whole family would come together. My brother and his wife and a couple of his kids would be able to fly out from Kansas City, and all we converge all in New Jersey, and the whole family would be together. And you got to understand, my mom and dad had and it's my mom's now, but just a two-bedroom, you know, little duplex home, and it's about, you know, 900 square feet. So you get 12 or 15 people in that thing. It's pretty packed. But we would, it would be quite an undertaking, but we would go out to a restaurant, a favorite restaurant of ours called China Buffet. And you know, it had like six or seven food stations. It had something for everybody, you know, even pizza. It even had pizza there. And, you know, it was quite an undertaking to get the servers or the receptionists to, get us all seated at one big table. They'd usually have to put three or four tables together, and, you know, we'd get piles of food, and we would stand or we would hold hands together, and we'd pray together a blessing. And usually my dad would be the one, as the patriarch of the family, to pray over the family. Then we would eat, we would cut up, we would laugh. You know, Pop would be sneaking and eating things that he wasn't supposed to eat. You know, he'd be over there getting oysters and mussels and clams. And my brother was always trying to play tricks on me. My brother is 6 years older than me, and by the way, he's going to be coming to visit. He and his wife, Yvette, Dave, is going to be coming out, we hope in June, to visit. And he told me that he wants to address the congregation. and tell them all the terrible things I've done to him. And I said, oh, no, brother. Thank you, bro. I said, the tables are turned. It will be me sharing the terrible things you've done to me. My brother and I had this little feud going on. It's been going on since we were teenagers. Who can outdo the next, you know? But the funny thing is, when he would try to play a trick on me or something, inevitably it backfires, and my mom would look at him and say, David, stop being foolish. And he'd be like, I didn't do anything. And mom would just give him a scowl, you know. And, oh, it was hilarious. 58 years old, and he's still getting scolded by mom. Mom and dad were just so proud because these were their sons and their daughter, their family. And they just kind of bathed in those times together. I know they cherished those times. As Brenda and I cherish our family as we're together. And as you, perhaps when your family is together, hopefully you cherish some times. Sometimes families can be rough, I know. But as we talk about families, we see here in the scripture that our Father God wanted to create a family. And He did this by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, so that you and I can become His daughters and His sons, His family. And by His Son's Spirit in us, we then become that family. We become sons and daughters, and we receive all the benefits and all the rights that His family has. We receive that which God has for us as His sons and His daughters. Now, if you're here this morning and you haven't yet come to know God through Jesus Christ, then you've got to know that Father God longs for you to know Him. He longs for you to become a son or a daughter. He longs to put His Spirit of His Son in you and to restore that relationship with you that was lost. He longs to give you all the rights and the benefits and restore that relationship that was lost so many thousands of years ago. He wants you to know Him. He wants you through this relationship to know Him. Listen, He wants you to understand how much He loves you. He really does. When we read the scriptures, so often we can miss the heart of God. You know, there's a lot of commands and precepts and requirements and rituals and all kinds of things in the scriptures. Sometimes we lose sight of the fact that God loves us. He loves us. And because of His Son, because He sent His Son, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world of people, that He gave His one and only Son. Why did He do that? So that He could know you and that you could know Him. You could truly, truly know His love. Not just, you know that you're forgiven and that you're going to heaven, you know, sort of get your fire escape ticket stamped or clipped. No. That's not all He wants. He really longs for you to know His heart. He really longs for you to know Him. And He longs to put His Spirit in you. Because you see, when you receive His Spirit, you really understand. You understand how much He loves you. And then understand this relationship that He has with you as His Father, as your Father, Heavenly Father. And understand all the rights and benefits. I think it's so sad that in many Christian circles, in many churches, that Christians, those that are redeemed and saved, can go through life and not realize how much God loves them. And how much He has for us. But rather than live in this sort of fear, you know, that, you know, if I mess up one more time, you know, God's about to squash me. He's got His foot on my neck. If I mess up one more time, you know, I'm done. And because of Christ, He's not like that. Because of Christ, He's not like that. But rather, He is this loving Heavenly Father. Well, let's break it down. The few minutes that we have together. Number one, because we are redeemed, we are His dearly loved children, and His Spirit cries out in us, Abba, Father. Look with me at verse 5. Well, let's begin verse 4. Come right on back to that. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law. Stop right there. This word, time, very interesting word. There's two words in the original language, Greek language, for time. One means it's referring to clock time, you know? What time of day is it? Right now it's 11:25. That means I have 45 more minutes to preach, right? Oh, no, sorry. Where's Bob? Should I tell my wristwatch joke, Bob? I'll pass. So there is a word in the original language, chronos, which refers to time, like clock time. But the word, that's not the word that's used here. The word that's used here is the word kairos. And it's referring to the fullness of time, the appropriate time. A time when an epic event is going to happen. When all the conditions are right. That's the word time that's used here. You see, all the conditions had to be right. All the prophecies had to be fulfilled. So God would send His Son into the world. And why? He sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to what? Verse 5. To what? To redeem those under the law. That's you and me. To redeem those under the law. This word redeem means to buy us back. Because you see, we are sold into slavery and sin. We're in bondage to sin, and so God wants to free us. He wants to buy us back. You see, under the law, the price of our redemption was life. God had said, the soul that sins, it shall die. Over and over again, we're told in the Old Testament, as God was making His law known so that we would understand what sin is and why we're guilty. You understand that? That's why God gave the law, so that people understand what sin is and that we're guilty. And we are to fear God because He is the one that could bring about judgment. He can actually do what He says He can do. We were talking about this in Sunday school class. Let me try to use an example. Let's say, all of a sudden, in the midst of this church service, you see we have the door open. We like it that way. An open door means everybody's welcome. But it swings both ways, right? But that open door, let's say, in the middle of the service, a man came running in here, and all of a sudden he interrupted the service. He said, you all need to get out of here. You need to leave this building immediately because I'm going to speak a word and I'm going to destroy this building. What will we do? We'd be like, hey, ushers, can you help this man find his way out of the building? John Rich would be, never mind. But we wouldn't be afraid of it. We'd be like, this guy's nuts, man. What's going on here? Because he really, by speaking a word, he has no power to do anything. All he can do is threaten, right? But what if a man came running in here and he said, all of you need to get out of this building because I'm going to destroy this building. And he opened his vest and he had a bomb strapped to him. We would immediately get out of this building. Why? Because he can do what he said he's going to do. The threat that he said he's going to do, he can do it. So it is with God. God just doesn't speak empty threats. He can do what he says he can do. He will do what he says he will do. He will judge sin. And those that reject his Son Jesus Christ, they will depart from him. But he can also do what he says here. That is, he can redeem and he can save you and me. He can give us His Spirit. How do we know? Because He's done it through the ages, through the millennia. We've seen people who receive the redemption of God, people who receive the gift of His Spirit. And so the price of our redemption was life. And that life, our life, was bought back by His Son. The life of His Son. His life for your life and my life. It's the great exchange. God gave His Son, gave His Son's life for my life and for your life. Sometimes we hear people talk about the blood of Christ. Why? Because you see, life is in the blood. When Jesus Christ shed His blood on the cross, that blood, you know, there's nothing intrinsic in and of itself. It meant His life. His life was being poured out. And so by redeeming us, by buying us back, therefore when we receive Christ, when we trust in Christ for what He has done for us, this great exchange, when we understand that, Lord, the wages of my sin is death, and I deserve them, and I know that I will receive them. But Lord, I ask that You would redeem me. Give me the blessing. Give me the benefit of Jesus Christ and His life dying on the cross for me. And when we do that, we're told here that God pours not only His blessings on us, but He pours His Spirit into us. We receive the gift of His Spirit, and by such we become His sons and His daughters. By the way, that's the only way. That's the only way. You become a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ by receiving Christ, trusting in Christ, and then receiving the Spirit of His Son. That's the only way that you become a son or a daughter. You don't become a son or daughter by going to church. You don't become a son or a daughter by even, going through ritual baptism. Baptism is merely a sign of what God's already done in my heart. But it is a public demonstration of that. By the way, we're having a baptism May 18th. If you haven't been baptized, we encourage and challenge you to make it public. Get baptized. And so we become a son or a daughter of our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. And then as you become a son or a daughter, you become a part of the family. Just like, well, oppositely of what I was born into my family, I was not adopted into my family. We are adopted into Father God's family. The Spirit of His Son is adoption, and He adopts us into His family. And when that Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, Jesus Christ, comes into me, the Scripture here in verse 5 says, the Spirit cries out in you and me, Abba, Father. Now, there's some beautiful words. This word Abba is actually one of the occurrences of Aramaic language in the Bible. And it's the Aramaic word for daddy. Isn't that beautiful? It's a term of endearment. You know, you can just picture a little child running up to father saying, Daddy, Daddy. You know, when my father was working with the state of New Jersey, I was very, very young. And I can remember my dad coming in the door from a long day's work. And my dad, he had to wear a suit and tie in work. And he just always had this smell about him. You know, it's like, I don't know. It was a cross between cologne and office. That's all I can say. And I just remember, when dad would come in the door, I remember running up to him and saying, Daddy, Daddy, you're home. And I'd cling to his leg. And he would do this thing when I was clinging to his leg. He'd be like, walking around saying, where's Tom? Where did he go? Where is he? You know? Daddy. It's a term of endearment. And what he's saying here is that when the Spirit of His Son comes into your heart, that Spirit in us cries out, Abba, Father. It means that you have this beautiful relationship with your Heavenly Father. You begin to understand and know how much He loves you. He's already dealt with the sin issue. Folks, listen. Please don't think that, somehow I'm soft on sin. I'm talking about after the sin issue has been dealt with, after you've become a Christian, after you've prayed and received Christ into your life. Now, if you haven't done that, that's the starting point of this relationship. And if you're here today and you haven't done that, then I encourage you and challenge you to do that today. Today, the Scripture says, is the day of salvation. Don't wait. If you hear His heart, if you hear His voice, today, say yes to the Lord. We sang that beautiful song at the beginning. Yes, Lord. Yes. And so your response to the Lord must be personal. You must do it yourself. No one can do it for you. It must be personal and must be specific. If I were to come to you and say, when was the time that you asked Jesus Christ into your life? If you don't know when you did that, now, I'm not talking about if you're young, if you're, say, well, maybe I did that when I was age, 4 or 5. And some of you have shared that, you can't even remember the time, but you know there was a time that you asked Christ to be your Savior. But if you're here today and say, well, I don't know if I've really done that or not. I can't really remember if I really done that. Listen, you've got to make it personal and you've got to make it specific. Come to the Father through Jesus Christ, His Son. And then you have this beautiful relationship with our Heavenly Father who loves you. How do you know He loves you? Listen, He sent His Son for you and for me. Why else would He do that? Why else would He do that? He sent His Son that you might know His love. Someone asked, how do I know that God loves me? And there's a beautiful picture. It says, Jesus stretched out His arms and died. That's the love of God. He sent His Son. Not only do we know the Father's beautiful love, but we begin to understand, listen, stay with me, say amen. You begin to understand that not only does God love me, He actually likes me. He does. My kids tease me all the time, say, I'm a cornball. Tell all these corny jokes, roll their eyes at me. It makes me do it all the more. But you know, every one of us, we're quirky. You know, I've said this before, we're all insecure, right? You're sitting here today and say, oh, I'm not really insecure. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. We're all insecure. And we all have our issues and problems, our struggles, but guess what? Father God loves us and likes us. That doesn't mean that He likes when we sin. That's not what I mean. But He has created you. I love that song. There could never be another you. There could never be a more beautiful you. God's created you in His image so that you could express through the personality and the person that He's created you to be. You could express God through yourself to other people. He fills our hearts with love. He cherishes us. I love that scripture from Zephaniah 3:14. It says, the Lord our God is with us. He is mighty to save. He will rejoice over you with singing. He will quiet you with His love. And He will rejoice over you with singing. You ever think about that? You ever think that God sings over you? He does. And one of the first songs He begins to sing is, cries out, oh, Abba, Father. Oh, Father, thank You for loving me. Thank You that I can know You, Lord. Thank You for saving me. Thank You, Lord. He fills our hearts with His love. And then that love overflows. That love that He pours into us begins to overflow out of us. Oh, I know, you know, sometimes it's just a trickle to start. Sometimes, you know, like water that's been sitting in a faucet for quite a long time, you open the faucet up and it comes out, it's got some rust in it. You know, I know the flow sometimes isn't as pure and clean as it needs to be, but you know what? As you grow in the Lord and that love continues to flow through you, it flows out and pours out and overflows onto other people. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. Jason is going to read that for us. It talks about this love that God has for us and how we're to love others.
Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
Go back to verse 1 for me. Be imitators of God, therefore. As dearly loved children. And then, live a life of love. You see, this is what He wants us as His sons and daughters to do. Not just enjoy the blessings for ourselves, but then to live out this love so that it pours out on other people. And so as the sons and daughters, we're called to imitate, be like our Heavenly Father. Why and how? By the Spirit. We live a life of love because the Spirit changes us more and more and more. Love changes us. Love transforms. The Spirit changes us more and more into the image of Jesus, but as you see right in the Scripture, go back to verse 1 for me. Be imitators of God, therefore. You see, we have to cooperate. We have to cooperate. Yes, God transforms us, but we have to cooperate. How? We spend time talking to God. We spend time talking to Him. A lot of people, if I use the word prayer, you're kind of like, okay, I got to get into this prayer God mode thing. Okay, Heavenly Father, I do beseech Thee. that thou wouldst look upon me with favor, and you know, and you go on with this long, meaningless prayer. God doesn't want you talking like that. First of all, God doesn't speak in King James English. I'm sorry to disappoint you guys that believe that, but he does not speak in King James English. If he speaks any particular language, it's Hebrew. Okay? There's actually passages of Scripture that show him speaking in a human language, and it's Hebrew. So if you want to get all fancy like that, then you better learn Hebrew. But you don't need to pray like that. Prayer is, the word prayer, prosuke, means to speak face to face. And that's what prayer means, speaking to God. And so when I get up in the morning, I say, Father God, thank you for another day. I'm alive. Amen? I'm alive. I'm vertical. And Father God, I have a roof over my head. Father God, I have food to eat. And I have people around me that love me. Well, most of them. Maybe one. I know you love me, don't you, honey? I got one. I got one. And my mom loves me too, so there. Amen. Thank you, brother. Yeah, you're right. See? You're godlike. You're godlike. I know God likes me, and it doesn't matter if you like me or not. So, I'm glad you do, though. I really am. You've got to put up with me anyway, though. Now, we have to cooperate. Spend time in prayer, talking to God. Talk to Him normally. When you have problems, when you have issues, talk to Him normally. When you're thankful, give Him praise. Oh, Father, I thank You for this beautiful family that You've given me, Lord. I thank You for this beautiful church family. Lord, I thank You for this Sunday, Lord, that we can come and worship together as the body. As we read in the passage here, there's churches in other countries, other lands that are being persecuted, where their pastors are being killed, church members are being killed, buildings are being burned down, people are being persecuted. Oh, Father, thank You that we live a land of freeness, that we're free, we can worship You. So begin to talk to God. And then allow Him to speak to you. Don't just talk and stop. Sometimes I think of our prayers, it's kind of like a God walkie-talkie, you know? Or a God cell phone. We start talking to God. God, you know, I want to talk about this today, and I got this issue going on. I really need Your help with this, you know? And then, click, we stop. And God's like, you there? Are you there? I wanted to answer what you just asked me. Hello? You see, we say our prayer and then we move on. Stop and listen. Take time to listen. See what God wants to say to you. Well, God, does God speak to us in an audible voice? No. No, I've never had God speak to me in an audible voice. I've heard people say that, and I'm not too sure about that. Maybe. He can do that. But God speaks to us primarily through His Word. And as you're reading His Word, then He brings to you thoughts and impressions. And you always have to test those according to the Word. I can't remember what the example was. I think it was Brother Ashley was talking about it. It was just a few days ago that he was praying, and the Lord said, you know, I want you to go and talk to this person. And he was like, oh, Lord, I'm busy. I got this and that going on. You know, I can't really do that right now, Lord. And I'm probably not getting it right, but some to this effect. And the Lord spoke to him again. He said, oh, okay, Lord, I got it. And he went and spoke to that person. You see, the Lord will speak to you, and He's a gentleman. And if you don't quite get it the first time, He'll bring it back to you. And then if you still refuse, He'll bring it back again. And sometimes you miss an opportunity, but He'll give you another one. Sometimes there's some things He wants to talk to you about that He will take a 2x4 and He will smack you upside your head. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't want that. When we sang that song, yes, Lord, that's what we want to say. Okay, Lord, yes, yes. You know, listen, even when we fail, we're saying yes, but we still are failing. At least we're not saying no, Lord. No, Lord equals 2x4. Okay? And so we take time. We talk to God. And then we read His Word. Let the Spirit speak to us through His Word. I was I opened my Bible yesterday morning, and I had already had this, you know, this message on my heart. I had already, you know, had it printed out and everything ready to go. And I opened to Isaiah, I believe it was chapter 41, and just started reading. I don't normally do that. Most of the time I'm reading through something, a book, you know, the Bible. But that morning I was heading towards Psalms, really, and I just opened to Isaiah, and it's talked about how God wants to delight in His people. God wants to love His people. And that's why He chastises them. Of course, we know Isaiah and all the prophets was, the focus was chastising people. Because God wanted them to be right. And to understand that they have to represent Him correctly. And it just spoke to me like, God, You've always wanted to love on us. You've always wanted that. And You've always wanted us to live right. And to represent You correctly. And You've done that through Christ so that we can do it. So that we can actually do that. And so God will speak to us, and His Spirit will speak to us through the Word. Number two, once we've received Christ and received His Spirit into our lives, the Word here tells us, back in verse 7, Galatians 4, that through this we become His heirs, and we live out all the rights and the privileges so that we can love Father God and love one another. Verse 7. So, because you've been redeemed, you are no longer a slave, but a son or a daughter. And since you are a son or a daughter, God has made you also an heir. Think about that for a minute. He's made you and I heirs. But here's the strange thing. God has already given us our inheritance. Isn't that great? Now, there's more to come, for sure. There's more to come. Aren't you glad about that? Say amen. Aren't you glad about that? I mean, for some of us, life is a struggle. Even with all the blessings of God, life's a struggle. And some of us have, you know, some really difficult struggles. And God promises part of His inheritance for you and for me is there's a time coming. Listen. There's a time coming, He says. In Revelation, the time's coming when He's going to wipe away every tear from our face. Every tear. Every sorrow. It says there's going to be no more pain. No more sorrow. No more weeping. It's going to be a time of joy. Isn't that great? I know many of you have some heavy burdens. Some of you have some difficult things that you're dealing with in your life, and it weighs you down. It drags you down. You have to understand that right now He's given us the first fruits of His inheritance. He's given us the Spirit. And what this allows us to do, watch this, He allows us, therefore, to live out the Great Commandment. Great Commandment living. By putting His Spirit into us, He allows us to love Him and then love one another. Because that's what Jesus said is the greatest commandment. Amen? That's what was taught in the law and in Deuteronomy. And Jesus repeats this. They asked Him, Jesus, we looked at this last week, Jesus, what's the greatest command? He said what? Say it with me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And also, love your neighbor as yourself. These are the two greatest commands. They hinge together. He says, all the law and the prophet hinges on this. And so, He's given us all these rights and privileges so that we can live this out in our lives. Great commandment living. And great commandment living leads to great commission living. Well, there's 10, I've chosen 10 benefits and privileges that He has. I'm going to go through them quickly. There's many, many more, but just 10. Number one, I'm going to go through them in class. Number one, He's given us forgiveness of sins. Number two, He's given us eternal life. Number three, He's given us the gift of His indwelling Spirit in us. Number four, our spirit is made alive and we're given a new nature. We're told in the Word that we are given the mind of Christ. This is so awesome. I can't comprehend this sometimes, but somehow the Holy Spirit, and the mind that I have, the Holy Spirit comes and brings the mind of Christ. It becomes super and transposed upon me and you. The mind of Christ is super transposed that's not the right word, superimposed upon your mind and my mind. That's why Paul says we have the mind of Christ. Number six, I'm adopted and I have a relationship. Did I skip five? Oh, I have a renewed mind. I combined them, I'm sorry. Number four was the Spirit gives us a new nature, and number five is I have a renewed mind. I'm given the mind of Christ. Number six, I'm adopted and I have a relationship with Father God. And really, there's an A, B, and C under this. Father God gives me protection, He gives me provisions, and He gives me promises. Number seven, I'm made a member of His family, the body of Christ. And I have brothers and sisters in Christ. I can go anywhere in this world, and if someone knows Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're my brother or my sister. Isn't that awesome? It doesn't matter what language they speak. It doesn't matter, you know, what they wear, what they look like, what skin color they are. It makes no difference. If they know Jesus Christ, they're my brother or my sister. Isn't that awesome? And y'all better get used to that, because we're all going to be together in heaven. Some from every tribe and nation. Amen? That's why there's no room for prejudice or racism as believers in Christ. We're made a member of His family. Number eight, we're given spiritual gifts so that we can understand how God has made us and gifted us to serve. Number nine, we're given resources. God entrusts us with His time, His treasure, and His talents so that I can live out my life, this life of love. He gives all those things to us. Well, I thought I earned my wage. I thought I earned my salary. Really? Who gave you the power and the ability to work? God says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, He tells His people, don't forget the Lord your God. It is He who enables you to earn wealth. He gives us the ability to do it. God is the owner of everything I am and I have. And so, He gives that, He entrusts that to me, and so I'm a steward, I'm a manager of what He's given. And then number 10, and this is so awesome. He allows us to be His ambassadors. He says, you are an ambassador of Christ. You are an ambassador of Christ. You represent Christ. Watch this. You still with me? Say amen. We're coming in for the landing. God actually allows me and you to talk to other people about Him. Is that awesome or what? Listen, if I was God and I was going to entrust you to talk about me and talk about me rightly and represent me rightly, man, I don't quite know if I could deal with that, you know, and let you do that. You know what I'm saying? That's a struggle. But He lets you talk about others representing Him. Talk to others about Him. And guess what? Even when we mess up, even when we don't get it right, He allows us to do that. That's why we have to be so careful that we are communicating correctly and rightly. We are rightly representing God. He actually lets us be His ambassador. What was that illustration, Joetta? Could I get a microphone real quick, and can you do that illustration you shared in Sunday school class, what God said to you? Would you mind? I'm putting you on the spot. I know it. Here we go. Here's one right here. Yellow. Thank you, Joetta. Stand up and share that with us. I know I'm putting you on the spot.
I went to St. Louis this week and was with my family and had a family meeting, and I knew it was coming. And I watched Joyce Myers, and she did a visual program, and she said, we are receptacles. We have received Jesus Christ as our Saviors. And she had a bottle of lotion on the little hand pumps, and she was pushing the button. And she's going, and when you get pushed, as you are a receptacle of God, what's going to come out of you? Kindness, love, peace, the spirits of Jesus Christ, a healing balm, or will black grease come out? And you get to choose what you allow to be pumped out of your receptacle.
God has made you a receptacle of His Spirit, of His love, of His nature. And you can get pumped. When pressures pump you, what comes out? And when people ask you a question about Jesus, about your faith, about your walk with Jesus, what comes out? And you know what? Even if it's mixed, He still allows it. And He uses that healing balm. And that's what draws people to Christ. And God gives us that privilege. It's a beautiful thing. Romans 8, 15 through 17. We're going to close with this. Mark Saltonfuss will read that.
For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory.
God has made you and I sons and daughters so that we can enjoy all the benefits and privileges and rightly represent Him. I pray that God will reveal to you a freshness of His life in you and that you will be so thankful and grateful and excited for what God is doing in your life. You know, we go through the week sometimes and it's like, man, some weeks I just barely get through. Life can be tough. But if we'll look to God and we'll ask Him to make every day a day where we are walking with Him, talking with Him, and then allowing Him to speak through us, then He'll turn every day around. And He has provisions for those things that are overcoming us. Let's pray. If you're here this morning and you've never invited Christ into your life, you've never reached out to God in faith through Christ, what a beautiful day to do that. What a beautiful day to open your heart and start this relationship with Jesus. If that's you, God's speaking to you today. He's speaking to you and you know that today is the day. And you can just open your heart through a prayer. It doesn't have to be fancy. You may not know all the words. You can pray a prayer like this. Father God, just come to you and I open my heart. I believe your Son Jesus is your Son and He rose from the dead, died for my sins. Lord, I want to know you. Please send the Spirit of your Son into my life. I want to return to you, Lord. I want to repent of my unbelief. And I want your forgiveness and I want to know you. Want to walk with you. If you pray that in your heart, God will begin a miracle in your life. And Father, I want to pray for those that are here today, maybe struggling to understand your love, Lord. I pray that somehow through the words, your word, that your love, the clarity of who you are and how much you love us, will be made real to each one here today. And then, Lord, we just give ourselves to you afresh and new that we can represent you correctly. Walk with you each day and then, Lord, the privilege of speaking to others about you. Lord, we're just so thankful and so excited that you would permit us, you would trust us to do that, Lord. We want to be found faithful. And so, Lord, I pray blessing over each one here. I pray, Lord, that you will fill them fresh and clean. Fresh, Lord, with your Spirit, clean by the cleansing power of Jesus. And then fill them, Lord, with your love, fresh and new. In Jesus' name I pray these things. And the people of God said, Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for your attention to the Word. Please take time to greet each other before you leave. And I'll be in the lobby. I'd like to meet some of our guests.